been an awful lonely month here without Jeremy. I've been questioning my existence.
While you've been questioning your existence, I've been questioning a lot of the core beliefs I've held for the last few years, and I found ways to challenge them and to change some false beliefs. We'll talk about it next.
But first, this is the FitMess, where together we learn to develop habits that help us live beyond our mental health struggles to create happier, healthier lives.
He's Zach. He lives in the future with his anxiety.
He's Jeremy, and he lives in the past with his depression. And we get together once a week in the present to share the obstacles we face and how we overcome them.
Where you been, buddy?
Yeah, last time we met, I was just about to hit the road and go on a worldwide adventure around various parts of Europe. I pretty much fell in love with Italy, and I want to stay there for the rest of my life now. That country was incredible. For a lot of reasons, and I found out later in doing some research that their life expectancy is longer than here in the West. They're a generally happier population than we are. And I saw some of the reasons why, and it's been really interesting kind of coming back to reality and my lack of routine and lack of all the, structures I'd built for myself to keep myself sane, and kind of comparing what I experienced there versus what I experience here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to kind of do here is sort of unpack what I'm trying to sort out in my head, because there, of course, I was largely on vacation. So it was a much more relaxed, happier lifestyle than coming back and working and trying to find time to go to the gym and all the things. P.S. I went to the gym once in a month, so that was not that didn't work out so well. but what I found, so here's one of the things I found most interesting. Quick teaser, I drank alcohol. More on that later. But on the food thing, I found this really interesting. The way that people eat there, vastly different than what we do here. For the most part, in the morning, they have a quick espresso, maybe two, and some sort of a pastry, a delicious bakery item.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a huge lunch, like massive, with a glass or two of wine, and then maybe go back to work,
mm-hmm.
and then have a really light dinner,
mm-hmm.
which is very different than what I've been doing and very different from what I think most people do here. But the other weird thing was that the food quality in Italy, there are literally food police in Italy that go around making sure that all of the places that sell and make food are using the highest quality ingredients. So even though I was eating tons of baked goods, lots of regular coffee, had a lot of meat, even had some wine.
Where'd you find regular coffee in Italy?
Well, I mean, caffeinated, not decaf.
I was going to say, there is no regular coffee. It's all espresso, Americanos. There's no brewed coffee.
Right. And a long coffee is like six ounces as opposed to our usual 29 ounces or whatever they stuff into a big gulp now. But the thing that blew me away was like, I wasn't paying attention to calories. I wasn't counting macros. I wasn't doing anything. I was eating real high quality ingredient foods. And I felt awesome.
Imagine that.
Like my body felt really good, even though I was not like obsessing over, is this enough protein? Is this, I shouldn't have this much bread. It's too much sugar. I felt great all mm-hmm. the time. It was so weird. And so, coming home, I go to the grocery store and I'm trying to replicate some of what I saw there, and buying the croissants at the store for the kids to have in the morning. And me too. But they're grocery store croissant. I mean, it's not even the same animal. It's a completely different product.
Oh, yeah.
And just trying to find ways to find real food is, it's funny because I kind of thought I was until I had real food. And now I see what I'm doing and I'm like, this is still processed crap.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely. You don't know it when you're immersed in it. Like when you live it and there's really, unless you go out of your way, there's not a lot of obvious options for how to do it right when it comes to the food you put in your face in Western culture.
Absolutely. I mean, the people who write the laws and the what they can advertise and what they can put in food and what they can't put in food in America or in the Western world, so different than the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced that too in Europe. It's just different. And it's a good different. And then you come back here. I always go over there and I feel good the whole time. And then I come back here and eat the food here. And then I get extra de-energized and extra sick mm-hmm. and extra something. Like, I don't get that same thing when I go to Florida. Like, it's totally different.
It's mind-blowing to me that we live in the kind of culture we do, and we're still struggling to figure out how to safely eat. And then we wonder why we have obesity epidemics and health problems and, you know, cancer and heart disease and diabetes running rampant when
right.
nothing on the store shelves is real.
Yeah. I mean, it's the, just as for one example, right? There's just wheat, right? The wheat yeah. that is in those pastries, right? In Europe, they don't allow genetically modified wheat to go into right. public consumption. In right. America, they do. And whatever your belief system is, I don't care. There is a huge difference between the flour that goes into pasta in Europe and the flour that goes into pasta in America. Huge difference, because we use genetically modified wheat to produce that flour. They don't. And it's not bad for you. And what we do here, the only reason we use genetically modified wheat here is so that they took a strain of wheat that produces more, right? So you can get more out of it.
Yep.
But it had too thin of a stalk on it. So they blended it with one that had a thicker stalk on it so they could grow more of it. So to produce right. more. They're like, oh, we'll just put these two together because, you know, we can get more out of it and feed more people and make more money on it.
The key right there, and make more money on it. That's exactly. the difference, I think. Like, there, the priority, and it's enforced by law enforcement officers, is it better be the best quality possible.
Mm-hmm.
Where here, it better be the most profitable product possible.
Yeah, it's the same thing in like corporate culture, right? The employment laws in the U.S. are built for the company, right? Mm-hmm. To protect the company, not the individual, yep. not the person. In America, I can fire somebody and done, gone.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, they could sue me, but it's, you know, it's not really high risk. In Europe, it's a pain in the ass to fire somebody. All the laws over there are to protect the person, not the company. And it's the same thing with the food industry over there.
Yeah. So long story short, we're getting a lot of shit backwards.
But in certain countries, they do drive on the wrong side of the road.
That is true. I was very relieved to not have to have that experience.
In certain countries, they say the opposite side of the road. I say the wrong side.
Correct. Yeah. By the way, trains are even better there. They got it figured out.
Absolutely.
Of course, they've been around a little longer.
Did you get on a bullet train?
I did. It was awesome.
It was so cool. It starts off so slow, you don't even realize you're doing 200 miles an hour.
That's insane. Yeah.
Just walking back and forth in a train that's doing 200 miles an hour.
Right.
On the ground.
And it doesn't look like it. I mean, you look out the window and you're like, oh, it's a lovely field. Look at that. But, yeah, don't step off the train.
No.
One of the things I experienced while on a train was a glass of wine, which was after I'd already cracked the code on starting to, I guess, test my ability to drink alcohol. And it sort of started on accident, if I'm being honest, not really. But the context here was a friend of mine said, when he found out we were going to Italy, he said, you have to try grappa, which in retrospect, I'm pretty sure he told me was booze. But when I had the opportunity and it was on the menu, it was unclear. And I was like, oh, I remember he said I have to try this. I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if it's alcohol, so be it, right? Whatever. It's the first time I've had a sip in 7 years. What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And so it came out, and I did not enjoy it. It was not a great first-time experience after so long not drinking. But, you know, drank it and fine. But now the door was open. I'm in Italy. I've heard my entire life about how Italy is like where the best wines in the world are.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going to try it. I've already broken the seal. Let's try some wine. And so I found myself at the occasional lunch having a glass, maybe two, but it became just sort of part of what we did every day. And there was never a sense of, I never felt any sort of a buzz. I never felt any effect of it. Other than it probably helped with digestion and stuff. Like there's reasons that it helps with that. But it was wild to have that experience, to drink alcohol again after 7 years, and be able to do it in moderation, and to be able to just have it be a normal thing, which I've now brought home. And I think I've had maybe a glass of I've had two glasses of wine since I've been home.
Mm-hmm.
And in every occasion, it has been to enhance an experience I was having and not to mask my feelings. And I've had experiences where I want to mask the feelings. I want to run from the pain. And now that that door is open, I've thought, oh, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize, I have the awareness to say, no, that's not who you are anymore. You don't do that. And I've been able to resist.
Yep.
That has been a pretty powerful realization for me to know and to honestly have been afraid of it for so long now, of like, what happens if I try this, am I doomed? Am I going to just completely go down a dark hole?
Yep.
So far, no. But you tell me this may be a slippery slope.
Well, I tell you that because I was in the exact same position about 1 year ago when I was in Europe. I was actually in Macedonia and I was on the flight there and they came by and they were, you know, I was contemplating the idea of trying to have a drink here and there just to see, because like you, I think it had been 7 years at that point since I'd had a drop, and I had a glass on the plane, like after, you know, just after
it's free. Who knew it was free on the plane?
Oh, of course, on international flights.
I never knew this. I know I've never traveled internationally. This was new news to me.
Yeah, it's always free. That's why people get wasted and then go to sleep and then wake up the next day and they're like, ah. But no, I had a glass, and similarly, I was like, I'd been toying with it. I've been like, you know, can I have one? Can I have one here and there? Like, is it because I quit for very different reasons. And I had the one. Then I was in Macedonia for like, and it didn't, no buzz, no nothing. I just enjoyed it. And I think I probably just fell right asleep and slept through the night. And then I was there and I had a glass of wine at dinner a few nights later, and like another glass of wine at some point during the week when I was there. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I came home and I was like, I'm just going to leave it at wine. And had a couple glasses here and there for a few weeks. And then I was like, you know, like, I like wine. I don't mind it. But I was always a beer guy. Right. I love the taste of beer. And the problem with beer is that it goes down fast.
Too fast, yes.
Wine you have to sip. Like, you can't chug that. Like, you can get a good glass of wine, you can make that last an hour for the most part. A beer, you could be gone in 10, 15 minutes if, you know, you're not, like, super busy.
Give me five and I'm done.
So, you know, fast forward a year, like there's definitely been moments over the last year, and I've let myself go a little bit. Like, I was scared of it. I'm not as scared of it now. It is a slippery slope because my brain still remembers those days of, I don't feel good. I had a bad day. I'm depressed. Somebody said something mean to me. I'm sad, or whatever it is, like subconsciously. Yeah. And I would go to the store and get a beer and sit on the couch and be like, and la 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 gone. Right? Your brain still remembers that.
Uh-huh.
And you're absolutely right. Like, there's been moments, and I have to say I slipped once where I like stopped at, you know, at the store afterwards, got a beer, went home and drank it, and then after I drank it I was like, oh shit, I just masked my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I realized it and did a little self-correcting, this and that. So it is a very slippery slope. How I will say, though, like, going 7 years without drinking has really taught me the tools to manage my feelings and my emotions and my all of the things without it. So to your point, it is an enhancement for me. I will have a beer or two when I'm golfing. I will have a beer or two when I'm out with friends. I even had a day where we showed up to watch football at 1 o'clock and we sat there for about 8 hours. And I limited myself to, you know, a drink an hour to let it like process through me. So I never got drunk, but like I had 8 beers while I was there.
Wow.
And I was a little hungover the next day, but I never got like, I, at any point I could have like walked out and driven home. That's it. I nursed it, but yes, it is a slippery slope because many, many, many times I've been like, oh, there's the store right there. I don't feel good. I'm hurting. And I have all these tools and techniques to go manage it, but I could just go drink a beer.
Right. That's the shorter, easier path, right? Like, just pour a little booze on it and everything feels great.
It totally is. But this is the whole thing. Like, we were on another show yesterday and we talked about this. It is... You're going to suffer the pain. What is it? The pain of discipline or the pain of regret, you know, going for the beer. Yeah, it's easy, but it's regret. Or you can have discipline. You can deal with it in the ways that you've learned how to do it. So Am I saying go drink beer? No. Or alcohol? Right. Absolutely not. Not saying that at all. If you can't control it, if you have a problem, don't touch it. I think you and I quit for very, very different reasons. Mm-hmm. We were probably both using it more than we should have to combat these demons. But I don't think either one of us had that problem.
No.
But we were on the path.
And I say this questioning it even as it comes out of my mouth, but I think I had more of a problem than I realized because it took so long to learn how to live without it. It took 2 years to really be able to drive by a brewery without going let's pop in there real quick for a drink. It took 2 years to feel feelings and be okay with it enough to move forward. So yes, I definitely coped with my feelings in that way. Do I need to go to AA meetings? No, I don't think so. But it was shocking to come off of it and realize how much of a crutch it was in my life. Not only for, these feelings hurt and I don't want to deal with them, but I have to be around other people now. I better put on the mask. I better get into character. And that's one of the things that I have to really be careful with now is if I am going to continue down this road, it is very tempting to be now I can go to a party because I can have a glass of wine or two, but I don't want that to be if I'm going to do that, I'm going to need to set rules in place where it's I better be there for an hour first or something because I don't want to fall into the trap of in order to engage with other human beings, I need to have alcohol in my body because that was the default before
for
most of my life.
And I still show up to things and I'll usually get a Diet Coke or a water first and drink that. And then I can have one. And then if I'm having more than one, it's always a water in between or something like that. Yep. Spread it out. I have the rules in place because I don't want to let myself go. Cause I've seen what it did to me in the past to your point. It was definitely a crutch. And I've learned to live without it. And I know that if I was, at any point in time, I know that if I started to get worried and I was oh, I think this is creeping back in, I know how to live without it. I don't need it. And that doesn't scare me the way it used to.
Do you
remember that? I remember when I decided to stop, I was scared because I was how the fuck am I going to live without this?
I literally had no idea who I was without it. Yeah. So much of the last, the previous decade plus of my life was the character on shows that drank beer, right? I would go on these other podcasts and these other game shows to drink beer and be the funny guy and crack fart jokes and whatever. I literally didn't know who I was without it. And so when it went away, my identity went away. And when you came to me with this, hey, let's do a wellness podcast. I barely know who the hell I am. How the hell am I going to tell anybody else how to find who they are?
Yeah.
It was, that's a terrifying time. And I remember when you said a year ago, when you, went on that trip and had a few drinks, I was scared for you. I was oh man, I was projecting all of my crap onto you and just being like, I don't know, man, that seems like a bad idea for you. I mean me, but for you, you really shouldn't do that. I mean, I shouldn't, but you really shouldn't do that. That was, I was worried for you. And so, once again, here we are. Hey, Zach, turns out you can drink alcohol once in a while. Do you know that?
Dummy.
But I think the thing that I'm still sort of kind of trying to land in after this experience in other cultures is not only, what role alcohol now plays in my life, if any, if I decide to keep going with this, but in sort of questioning that belief, all these other beliefs that I've built up around, how much I need to exercise, how much protein I need to eat, all these systems that I built that I rely on to, keep me sane, I didn't have them for the last month and I was still fine. And so I'm not saying the hell with the gym, because I know I feel better when I go. And I know that that I can be compassionate with myself when I don't go, if I miss a day or whatever. Okay, no big deal. I'm not going to beat myself up. It just didn't work out today. But there's something sort of building in my brain that balances this a little bit more relaxed, a little bit happier, a little bit more easygoing with the structure and the discipline that I've been trying to build in my life back home. And I don't know what that looks like yet. So it's a really strange place to be in, where it's like trying to find a way to be okay with having a pastry in the morning and not, you know, worrying about, oh my, I'm going to undo everything I did in the gym yesterday, right? Like there's a balance to it that I'm trying to now apply to my life that I think in the end, hopefully will lead to an even happier version of me.
Yeah. It's always tough to come back from those. I mean, especially the extended trip. You guys were gone for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I've, you know, when I do like at least 2 weeks away, you know, coming back, it is really quite difficult to get back into the routine. And you quickly find out that some of the things that you were doing were only there because they were masked by the success of other things. Right. Like they weren't actually working for you so much. Yeah. Yet other things that you were doing were compensating for it. And it was kind of hiding in there of, you know, that's not good for you, or it was neutral or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you can, right, you can have a pastry in the morning and continue on with your day and be totally fine.
Right.
Instead of fasting until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And hey, look, everything still works.
Right.
So. Yeah.
And I also need to be careful to not go, hey, look, I lived like this for a month and nothing happened, versus, look, I lived like this for 47 years before that and have all this other evidence. Like, you know, I don't want to weigh both equally.
Yeah.
But when I look at the data of the people that live there like this, live better and longer, maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's pieces of it that I can add to my little puzzle and my little toolbox to try and keep things moving forward.
Right. Or you're just going to country hop. U.S. to Canada, Canada to Italy.
Yeah.
And then who knows? You'll be all over the place. Well, I'm glad to have you back and have you on the mic and have us recording these. I have been getting back into my routine since we last talked. And this is for another show, but I've been struggling myself.
Yeah, I think your text, and this may be the next episode, I think the last text I got from you was, it's been a fucking mess. So I'm looking forward to finding out more about what's been a fucking mess and what we can do to clean that mess up.
Yeah, it went a little bit below fit mess. It's a fucking mess. It's a very fine line between the two.
It is a fine line. We'll find out more about that on the next episode. Thanks so much for listening to this one. If you've gotten any value out of it and you know someone else who may benefit from it, please share this episode with them today to help us reach our mission of helping as many people like us as possible. You're the key to doing that. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week at thefitmess.com.
We know this podcast is amazing and it doesn't seem to lack anything, but we need a legal disclaimer. Prior to implementing anything discussed in this podcast, it is your responsibility to conduct your own research and consult your physician. You should assume that Jeremy and Zach don't know what they're talking about, and they're not liable for any physical or emotional issues that occur directly or indirectly from listening to this podcast.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.